Hello and welcome to Coming Home with Mama T. I'm your host, Tierra, aka Mama T. And on this podcast, we explore the journey of creating the life of our desires through mastering manifestation, maintaining a positive mindset, and living luxuriously. And today I have a very special guest. So I would love it if you would introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thank you so much, Mama T. Appreciate you so much. And my name is Nimisha. I am a life coach, or you can call me a confidence coach or a self-worth coach, whatever floats your boat. But I usually, I love speaking about things, anything to do with self-confidence, self-worth, and how to raise our vibration to reach there, and how we can change our own story to create our own destiny. Because a lot of times, especially for women, because I am one, I can speak that way, especially for women, is that we are told that that you just from a very young age, we are told that you live this way. Mm-hmm. And I would like to think that we don't have to live that way. And there are so many options available for us to change our mindset about. And especially today, I'd love to spread that message in the world, is that you can choose your own path.
Yes. It's so perfect. I know for myself in my own personal life, it definitely took a lot of self-awareness and learning through different experiences that actually I get to choose, right? Like you said, like we get to choose our pathway, what we get to do, we get to choose our belief systems. And so often I can think about, like, for example, I talk a lot about like my battle with my weight growing up, and, you know, being told that like these are the limitations that you have based off of what you can do because of what you look like. And that doesn't have to be our story unless we like choose to allow it to be our story. So with that, I would love it if you share a little bit about your story.
I love that you said that, and it's so inspirational to have, you know, you explain that in a way that you found the empowering part in you to deal with that story of yours, because it is about what you believe about yourself in the mirror. Like, I look in the mirror and what do I think? And a lot of it is us believing in ourselves instead of just listening to what other people say and thinking, I believe this, but you actually don't.
Right.
So find that belief, like, what is really my belief when I look in the mirror, or is it somebody else's borrowed belief? So I do that in my life. Mirror work is what I teach. And so when you said that, it just hit home for me, is that mirror work, that's what it is that when you look in the mirror, and I talk about clothes and I talk about personality, you know, basically creating your own personality, your ideal self. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, at least for me, I began from the outside in, because I couldn't go from the inside out. It was difficult for me to envision until I saw myself in that vision, you know, and then I was like, oh, wait, I can't, okay, so how does she feel now? This person I just created, now, how do I want her to feel? How do I want her to think? So that's what I did. But for me, I started like that, is that I was on disability. I couldn't walk. I love to dance. I love Bollywood dancing. So I've danced my whole life. And then at the age of like 27, I couldn't walk anymore. I couldn't do anything. And that became my identity, is that this is your life now, you know, everything you knew before doesn't exist anymore. And I had to create the belief that I was going to dance, that I was going to get up and dance, and I was going to change that for myself. It took so much energy, though, out of me to do that, that everything else got left behind. So I put so much energy into feeling healthy that all the other parts of my life kind of got left behind. And then recently, you know, when I got into coaching and when I got into therapy, was when I realized that I needed to tend to all of the parts of my life instead of just the one, which, by the way, you know, turned out well. I manifested that, you know, I did manifest great health. So if anyone's looking for that, I'm your girl. But that's not all life is, right? So that's when I, now at the age of 40, I was like, wait a second, there's more. There's more that I want to manifest.
Yeah.
So then I got onto that. And now I feel like I can fully embody the manifestation process of the person that I am, not just one section of my life, but the whole of my life. Oh, and that really worked for me.
I love that. I think it's so, like, that's something I also talk about a lot about, is just being the best version of ourselves, being the version of ourselves that we desire to be, right? And so, you know, how I think about being that person, it's just like, well, what would Mama T do if she was a millionaire? What would she do if, like, you know, and like start behaving in the ways that would make us, and that before you know it, you are that version of yourself without even thinking about it, without the conscious effort. So it's like so beautiful. So I know you touched on, you know, going through something so like traumatic, and then being able to put yourself in a space where you're like, you know what, I'm going to take over my life again, and I'm going to move forward with it. So can you talk a little bit about the headspace and what kind of inspired you to take on that shift?
Honestly, it's not a happy story. it's a pretty crappy place to begin with, but it's a great place to begin. It's that you are at the lowest of the low, and that's where I was. I was at the lowest of my low, and I'm usually a very positive person. Even throughout my ordeal with the health, I was very positive, you know. But so a lot of my friends know me as that. So nobody has ever seen me like on the floor bawling, which is what I was. Just a couple of years ago, I was that. I was that girl that was bawling on the floor and just was like, I'm done. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I don't have anything. I don't have a purpose. If I didn't exist, nobody would care. I don't contribute anything, you know? And that's what my life had become. So that's where you begin. For me, that's where I began. And there was a voice in my head, a very distinct voice, that said, we didn't come this far to just come this far, did we? Mm-hmm. Is this it? Are we just going to give up? Because we really worked hard, you know? Yes, there's work to do, and there's a lot of work to do. So I did do the work. So I actually sought help. I knew I couldn't do this on my own. So I sought help. I got therapy to deal with the mindset that I was in at that time. So the headspace for me was very messy, I will say. Very, very messy, and not good thoughts, all disempowering thoughts. And so I sought help, and that's when I realized that even the person helping me was just holding my hand. I was still helping myself. I was the one that was doing all the work. I was the one that was saying, this is what's coming up. And then that person was saying, I'm right here. Let's go through it together. But you get the answer. And they weren't giving me any answers. I was providing the answers for myself. They were just leading me down a path of just supporting me, basically, a path that I had chosen, you know? So, I feel that that's what coaching became for me, is that I'm a coach that leads you to on whichever path you want to go on. So I don't even choose the path, you do. And that became my story, is that my transformation came from a very low place of disempowerment, which never ends. Your disempowering thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, never end. They never have an end, because if you have a mind, you have these thoughts. But what happens is it gets easier to deal with them. It gets easier to come up with a counter argument, a counter answer to whatever that voice is saying. And then slowly you start recognizing as a voice that's not your own anymore, because it sounds very much like you. So eventually you will get to a place where you are able to determine where it's coming from, even whose voice that might even be, like that specific person even, or if it's coming from an emotion of fear, let's say. You can identify it. Can you deal with it right away? Probably not. It still takes a little time to be like, okay, I know, I'm aware now, but can I deal with this in a quickness of a second? No. It still takes a little time. But the point is that when you start this work, it just becomes impossible for you not to look anymore. Just to not to look within anymore, to try to get to, as you said, that ideal self. It's impossible for you to shut it out and be like, oh, I'm angry and I just want to be angry. It's impossible for you to remain there. You're going to want to deal with that and come out of that emotion with flying colors, if I may say so.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. Yeah. 100%. You know, we get to a place where, We no longer see ourselves as like a victim of our circumstance. We see ourselves as the leader and taking ourselves forward. And so it's just like, you can't just allow yourself to be in a place that you don't want to be anymore. You get to recognize, okay, this is where I am at and this is where I want to be. So what do we need to do to get there?
Love that. I love that. And you know what? Sometimes what we do is, a lot of times I've done this, is that I've gone into that victim mode and wanted to stay there. It's just like, I want to stay in victim mode now. Just that's it. I want to stay here. But there's such a loud voice that says, are you sure? Are you sure you want to? We don't like it here. So you're not going to feel comfortable there anymore. Because usually victim mode is very comforting. It's very comfortable in the past. But if you start doing the work, it's not going to be comfortable anymore. Because as human beings, and this is what I found for myself, is I seek peace. I want peace in my life. I don't want chaos. And so there's no peace if I'm in victim mode. There's no peace of mind.
Facts. Because you're just like, you know, get into that space and then you're down spiraling and you can feel it. It's like a visceral, you know, emotion in your body. You just feel like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like it. I want to laugh. I want to, you know, frolic.
I love that. I want to twirl. Yes. I want to frolic and laugh and twirl. I love it. Yes. 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 Yes and to all.
Exactly. And you can't like be in victimhood if you're frolicking and spinning around. I feel like they're contrasting activities.
Yeah. We want to be fairies.
Yes. Yes, please. Give me my wings. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Exactly. That's where I want to be. I want to fly. Please don't bring me down.
Yes. All of that. Oh, I love that. And then, which makes me think of like, okay, what about relationships? So I know what I've noticed in my life is I have shifted my mindset and gotten more grounded in who I am and what I want for myself and seeing myself as like how I truly am and creating a new belief structure that is more positive. The people around me also change. So have you had that kind of experience?
Yes, definitely. And I love that you said that because you have such a wide smile on your face when you're saying that, because it's such a true sort of experience that you've had in your life. And I have as well. Relationships, for me, I was just a major people pleaser in my life. My whole life has been people pleasing. And so that was something that a pattern that I needed to tackle as well and set boundaries. That was very difficult. It still is for me, because nice is not kind. And I always mistake those two. I used to in the past. I don't anymore. I should correct myself. But nice is not kind. But we are told that it is, just to keep us in that mode of people pleasing. Mm. Because other people do very well when you're a people pleaser. They receive a lot of love and a lot of other things. So they want to keep you there. And maybe that's their pattern. But the point is that for us, for me, boundary setting was a big deal with relationships. And so I was able to do that slowly and actually acquire respect for boundary setting. And the ones that didn't respect me for the boundaries did fall away. They did fall away. And is it painful? Yes, it is painful. It's very painful, especially friendships. People talk about like intimate relationships when they fall out, or family, but friends are, you know, nobody ever talks about how it feels to lose friends. It's not a good feeling to lose good friends, but you're setting boundaries and you're doing what's right for you. It's not a good feeling. So I went through a lot of that. I still do. But I've also realized that if somebody doesn't have the bandwidth to deal with or to understand what you're saying, it doesn't matter how many times you say it. It just isn't getting, like, you're on different levels of understanding. So they just don't have the bandwidth to understand where you're coming from. And so for that, even I just say, I let go with love. Mm-hmm. Instead of bitterness, at least I try to. But it is hurtful to let go of those relationships. But the ones that stay are the ones that you're talking about that change. You know, their mindset changes towards you and they start seeing this different version of you and they start being so proud. And then they start being inspired. Like, hey, you did that. How did you do this? Because I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? And it's just such a joy to be able to serve your the people that are around you, whether they're friends or not, or family, whatever it is, but just to serve by being yourself. I'm not even like coaching anymore. I'm just being myself and I'm serving. And that was extremely humbling as a human being for me.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And I've also noticed, like, yeah, it's sad to, like, you know, lose some of those relationships once you create those boundaries, but also the relationships that stay, they become deeper, right? And they reaffirm everything that you've already you've taught to yourself. And it's like frequency, right? Like, so your frequency is risen. And so now everybody else has to match that frequency and level up themselves to be in your space. Otherwise they're uncomfortable and they fall away.
Right. Yeah, they do. And you know, I've started to become, and I don't know if that's for you, I'd love to ask you, but it's starting to become easier for me to tell someone, like call someone out on something, let's say, with so much love and compassion. And if the other person's on the same frequency as me, is that it gets even deeper, the relationship, because they're able to be like, oh, that was not very harsh how you said that. Mm-hmm. So thank you for like being compassionate, you know? Instead of fearing and being like, how do I bring this up? Are they going to take it the wrong way? I come from so much love that, you know, if they're on the same wavelength as me, they will not misconstrue it.
Oh, yeah. Very, very true.
Such a lovely feeling.
Yeah, you don't have to be afraid anymore of like, how do I approach this situation? It might be like uncomfortable or, you know, not something that people would typically talk about, but you still get that opportunity to be like, you know what? Like, this is a trusted individual that I love so much, and I get to present this conversation and we get to like grow together and learn together and explore this experience together. And it's a great love building activity.
Yes, it totally is. And that's what helps as well, as you were, you know, we say misunderstandings, right? It's not a fight, it's a misunderstanding. So if you're able to both understand each other, then it's a clear path to the next step, whatever that may be for you, right? So that's a true misunderstanding. We just misunderstood each other, you know, just like wires crossed, that's all. But when we call something a fight, that means that there's like, you know, there's a complete shift in how you feel about each other. So I think I'd rather have the misunderstanding with someone if I was to choose than a fight, because hopefully the misunderstanding is something that is easier to, if you're on the same wavelength, easier to kind of mull over together.
Exactly. Because you're always, if it's a misunderstanding, then you still have that basis of love and respect for each other, like you said. So I think that's beautiful. All right. And so I just wanted to say, is there anything else that you would love our audience to learn or get today?
Yes. We talked a lot about self-image and our own, what we see in the mirror. I'd like to drive that home as well, because that's what I teach, is mirror work, is that every time we look into the mirror, we underestimate how we speak to ourselves, because you know, first thing you do in the mirror, anyone does in the mirror, is look for flaws,
right?
Especially first thing in the morning is look for flaws. And that's a setting in our minds for men, women, doesn't matter who the person is, just human beings do this. And I feel that if you are able to shift that, just that one process of when you look in the mirror, to shift the thought process of what happens in your mind, the talk, the negative talk. And if you're able to put at least 3 nice thoughts in there for yourself, then your mirror work starts becoming part of your life in terms of self-care, as we say. Self-care, you can say, oh, I just made a bubble bath for myself and now I feel great. I read an amazing book or whatever. But the point of self-care is, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. And that is the easiest way to feel good about yourself, because we hear so much about ourselves from other people. It's always about, you know, you look nice today, their opinion. But we never look in the mirror and say, you look great today. Because we're looking for somebody else to say that to us.
Yes.
So I'd love for anyone who's listening to build that within you. And not in an ego way, not like, I'm hot, but you're not feeling hot. you know, that now you're just basically faking till you make it, which if it works for you, great, do it. But I'm talking about the genuine, just find one thing that you're like, you know what, my eye makeup is so hot today, like I nailed this one today, you know, just like one simple thing, and then begin there and don't expect that from someone else. Nailed the eye makeup. Let's say you go out and somebody says, it's a funny eye makeup. In your head, I don't want you to think, oh, I thought I nailed it. I want you to think, yeah, but I nailed it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
So don't let go of that thought just because somebody else didn't appreciate or embrace that. That's what I'd like to put out there, is that, you know, hold on to the thoughts that truly come from your heart about yourself.
That feels really good. I love that. And it just like reminds me. So one of the things that I love to do, a practice of mine, is when I go in the morning, when I'm going to brush my teeth, I love to just like say affirmations to myself as I'm like looking in the mirror. So that just helps to reaffirm. And it's a great way to just start the day as well, because you put yourself in such a positive mindset about yourself so that like you carry that energy throughout the day. And anytime you need like an uptick or whatever, you're feeling a little like, you notice that you're talking down about yourself, that's when you can, you know, pick up that mirror again and like say something nice to yourself, find that eye makeup and just like go.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's a red lipstick, by the way. Always works. The red lipstick always works. But yeah, absolutely. I love that affirmation. Whatever you feel works for you, like from the belly, the thought usually comes like deep in the belly, in the heart space area, is like, oh, I love that. I love you. You're freaking awesome. And then we go out there and somebody says, eh, whatever. And then we let go of that thought. So remind yourself again of who, what you think of yourself.
That's beautiful. I love that message. Thank you so, so much. What is the best way for people to get in contact with you and work with you?
So the best way is Instagram. I usually hang out there quite a bit. I'm creating an entire program on this, on mirror work and how to create an ideal self and how to relate that into yourself and how to basically change your life. One mirror at a time. So that's what I'm creating. So if anyone's interested, just DM me and I'd love to put you on the list and, you know, do the putting it out for most people who want to lift their vibration. So if that's you, go for it. But yes, Instagram.
I love it. And what's your Instagram handle?
It's the Nimisha Mehta.
Love it. Awesome. And I will make sure to put that in the comments of this video and recording so everyone has access to it.
Thank you
so much for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes. And for all those watching and listening, thank you so much for listening. Remember, sharing is caring. So share this out with your friends. And you can always go to www.abubbly.life/luxuryliving and check out all the fun things that we have going on. And with that, have a magical day. Thank you.